Psalm 71 tonight. Psalm 71. Start reading in verse 1. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, and unto thee I will sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt." So we come to Psalm 71, and as we work our way through these psalms in a consecutive way, one of the things that you'll notice is that a lot of these psalms tend to be pretty similar thematically. Okay, so the psalmist is coming to God again and again saying, Lord, I'm putting my hope in you. I'm seeking to trust you. I'm looking to you as my refuge. Save me and help me and bless me to praise you and those kinds of things. The book of Psalms is in a lot of ways, even amongst the variations that we have, it's a book of many repeated themes like that. And yet, as we look at each psalm as a standalone psalm, we do not grow weary of seeing this struggle, of seeing the psalmist come back again and again and again and again, particularly if we understand the struggle that what we have here in the book of Psalms, again, is not some sort of book of theology where we're trying to grasp and get our minds wrapped around the idea that God is a refuge. In the book of Psalms, we're interacting again and again and again, 150 times, with an individual who is seeking to make God his refuge, who's seeking to place his trust in the Lord. He's not in a spiritual quandary about the nature or necessity of faith or in any sort of an abstract difficulty in his mind about these things in a doctrinal way. He He is fighting to make these a living reality in his own heart and in his own mind. And so as we go through and see these repeated themes come up again and again and again, brothers and sisters, one of the things that you ought to be encouraged by is that it really does mimic the necessity of each and every one of us, each and every day, entering into some of the same struggles and same battles that we were in yesterday and the day before and the year before and so forth and so on. This particular psalm is a psalm that the title that I'm going to use, and we could make variations on this, but it's a psalm for seniors. Psalm for seniors. By that I don't mean high school seniors. I mean senior citizens. I mean older people. We could have also called it grace for growing old. But you'll notice in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. We've talked before about how the Psalms deal with all kinds of different struggles. They deal with every struggle as far as struggles of the heart goes. Every emotional struggle that we could experience, we see mimicked or displayed some way in the book of Psalms, in the Psalter here. And then we also see not just those struggles of the heart, but just those common struggles in living. And this psalm is one of those psalms. The reality is, and you know this if you've lived very long, growing old is not for the faint of heart. And I don't say that because I think I've grown old. But I do say that because if you've been around long enough, then you realize there are some unique challenges that come with old age that are very different than the challenges that you face in your youth. Now, we could also say there are some unique challenges in our youth that aren't quite as intense as we get older. And so it's not that one is any worse than the other, but again, growing old is not for the faint of heart. Changes of roles, abilities, perceived usefulness can be disheartening. Physical and sometimes mental limitations that did not exist in younger years can become frustrating and even scary. And so one of the things that Psalm 71 is meant to do is to encourage you in God's faithfulness all the way up through old age. But it's also a psalm that's meant to invite you to allow those limitations to spur you on in your pursuit of the Lord all the way up until the day that you die. God is not finished with you, and you have a generation watching that needs you to show him, to show them his strength and his power. Out of verse 18. And so part of it is to reassure us of God's faithfulness. God was there whenever he took us out of our mother's womb and times that we were completely helpless. We could do absolutely nothing for ourselves. And God's faithfulness was on display then. And God's faithfulness will be on display as we grow older, as we experience the limitations that go along with that, as we revert back into, if we live long enough, what will eventually be a world where we are pretty helpless. The reality is we have a faithful God who's in the business of caring for his people all the way to the end. And because that's the case, his people can be faithful to him all the way to the end. All the way to the end. There's no such thing as retirement whenever it comes to serving the Lord. And this is one of the encouragements we get out of Psalm 71. So I want to give three things to strive for out of Psalm 71. Three things to strive for in old age. And one of the things that we'll see is that we will set ourselves up to strive well in older age if we take these three things seriously in our younger age. So maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, I'm far from becoming a senior citizen. And I would say two things. It's closer than you think. And then the other thing is, what you do now will affect what you do then. So while it's a psalm for seniors, it's a psalm for us all. So number one, verses 1-7, strive to place your hope in God. Strive to place your hope in God. Again, that sounds like such a basic concept. That sounds like such a simple thing, a no-brainer. Well, of course, God is where we should place our hopes. But again, we go back to what we said earlier. We're not trying to form a theology of where those hopes should be placed so that we can abstractly say, yes, it's good to place hope in God. That's not what we're doing. We're beyond that. We're saying, now that we know that it's good to place our hope in God, how is it that we fight every day to make sure that that's what we're doing? Because the reality is, and we've said this plenty of times here lately, the world is full of good places, or places that seem good, really false refuges for you to place your hope. And many times we don't know or we don't realize just how foolish it was to place our hopes there until it's too late. So the world of finances is a very attractive place to place your hopes. Ambitions and productivity as far as what you can do and placing your hopes in your abilities and gifts. And we're all gifted, and we all have different abilities in all kinds of different ways. And the reality is those gifts are fading even right now. Some of you are growing gifts and abilities. And this might sound kind of weird to say, but even as they're growing, those things are fading right now. Okay, they will not be as sharp as they were today, tomorrow. You cannot build your identity around what you think your gifts are. You cannot place your hopes. And when I say hopes, I really mean this, in this sense. You cannot find your contentment in what you think God has given you that makes you special, because it's not going to last. Sometimes it's just in our ability to be able to kind of have things just so, to be able to control the environment around us, to make sure that we can kind of set up house in a way that is comfortable for us. Well, again, it would be very nice if we could be assured that those comforts that are not bad, but those comforts were always going to be there, but they're not. We don't have a guarantee of that. The truth is, for some of us, there will be strangers caring for us in old age. And everyone that we knew and loved will not be there. And that's when this idea of, I've got to strive to place my hope in God, becomes a reality that we've got to live on. Okay? I imagine Sister Rebecca could tell us stories about a handful times a million of people who are in situations like that. And for confidentiality reasons, I won't ask her to do that. Okay, but it's just the truth. It's just the reality. You know this already. You know this already if you've lived very long as an adult, particularly as a married adult. You make your plans and God laughs. Right? I don't mean that in a cruel way. I just mean, just because you plan for it to happen doesn't really mean a lot. And so, I don't say that to try to paint a grim picture or to put a dark spin on what it means for us to grow old. But I do say that just to say that if we can kind of pop our bubbles of false hopes, on the front end to see that the only place we can really place our hope is in the Lord, it doesn't mean that any of those other things are going to be any easier. It means you're going to know where to run when those things become difficult. Again, the truth is, most of us will lose a spouse. It's very rare that two spouses, it happens sometimes, but it's very rare that spouses die together. Most of us will lose a spouse. There's no way to prepare for that so that when it happens, you walk away saying, no biggie. Okay? It's going to hurt, and it's going to be very difficult. The question is, where will we turn for hope and help when that happens? And then we could go on. Well, again, the psalmist here is striving to place his hope in the Lord. Let's read those first seven verses again. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. The word confusion there could also be ashamed. And it's shame from the sense of, Lord, let me not be ashamed that I put my hope in you. Let me not be confused or wonder why did I place it here. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for thou art my hope. O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many. Thou art my strong refuge. And so we see he's putting his trust in the Lord. He's seeking to continue to put his trust in the Lord. We see in verse 3, he says, Lord, would you be my strong habitation? It's just another way of saying, Lord, would you be my refuge? Would you be my safe place where I run for protection, where I run for help? And then you'll notice there the language, Lord, be my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort, so that I would go to him again and again and again and again and again. Lord, would you be my strong habitation so that I can make a habit of coming to you, to going to you for my help, going to you in my time of need, going to you in my fears, going to you in my frustrations. Lord, bless me not to look around and grasp at quick, instant gratification, quick and instant relief from pressures, but would you bless me to continue to resort to you for my help, to you for my hope? Again, in verse 4, he says, Lord, would you deliver me? He's going to continue to look to God as his deliverer. Verses 5 through 7, he says, he is my hope. It's the Lord who is my hope. Now think about that. If you've ever known anyone that fit the stereotype of just a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman, you don't have to name their names, but if you've known anybody that's fit that stereotype, it's not uncommon for that to be the case and for constant complaints to be the case because the effects of old age aren't somehow reversing. Okay. What I mean by that is when things begin to break down, if our hope is that they'll stop breaking down, then we're going to be grumpy old men and women as well, because they're not going to stop breaking down. When people stop coming around like we wish they would, more than likely, that probably won't change. At least it won't change without us making some sort of an effort. Now, we should be mindful of that. And we ought to be mindful of the elderly and their struggles. And at this point, I'm not necessarily talking about our responsibility toward them as much as I'm talking about how it is that we fall into some of these stereotypical struggles. So again, if the reverse of the curse is our hope, well, it's going to be impossible to be content. But that's not what the psalmist says here. He says, Lord, you are my hope. My hope is in your steadfast faithfulness. My hope is that your promises are sure. My hope is that you are present with me through the difficulties. My hope is that when I feel lonely, you've promised that you would never leave me or forsake me, that you are my companion. Father, my hope is that you are faithful to everything you've ever promised to me. And you're also committed to communing with me in a real way. Well, brothers and sisters, that's altogether different. Altogether different than the other. Now, you'll also notice in the second part of verse 5, it says, For thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my trust from my youth. Okay? So here's the question. If you want your trust in the Lord to be strong when you're older, then you better begin pursuing God and trusting Him now. You know this already, but it's not automatic. By this, I don't mean if you want to have the ability necessarily, but really what I mean is if you need to begin to build a track record now of God's faithfulness, to you personally in your life. You need to build a track record now of trusting Him and tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. We've said this before. There's a passage in Proverbs that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And the verse is not meant to try to kick somebody while they're down. That verse is meant to communicate this reality that you do not wait until the day of adversity to try to strengthen yourself. Okay? You do not wait until adversity comes before you decide to prepare. And so this is what we know. Out of the proverb that we just mentioned, adversity is coming. Are you doing anything to prepare for that? Old age is coming. Are you doing anything to prepare for that? Okay, so as a young person, again, if you're thinking about Psalm 71 and the fact that it's a psalm for seniors, okay, this is an encouragement to you. Begin to build your track record of trust with the Lord now. Begin to be able to build your testimony of God's faithfulness now. Begin to place your hope in Him now. So number one, verses 1 through 7, strive to place your hope in God. Number two, verses 8 through 14, strive to live a life of praise. Strive to live a life of praise. Look at verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. So we see in verse 8, immediately, this desire to praise the Lord. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. And a desire to honor the Lord also. But then we see in verses 9 through 11 what we've already mentioned, and that is these difficulties and these trials that are just inevitable. It's inevitable that they come. There's enemies here, there's weakness here, there's plottings and different things that are going on here, but really the two big ones in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. Okay, there's just a weakness there. David, or whoever the psalmist is that's writing, says, Lord, don't forsake me when I'm weak. Don't forsake me when my strength fails. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm in a very weakened state. My desire is to praise you, but Lord, do not forsake me while I'm weak. Then he goes on in verses 10 and 11 to describe the enemy there, and whatever that is, and whoever that is. The reality here is that David feels, or the psalmist feels, vulnerable. Lord, there's an enemy that's plotting things that I can't do anything about. Not only am I weak from a sense of I'm just not as strong as I used to be, but I'm also vulnerable. There are just things people that would take advantage of me, people that would harm me, people that can do things that I just cannot do anything about. And so, Lord, would you bless me? Would you protect me? Would you bless me to be able to praise you and honor you in my weakness, in my vulnerability? This is what you'll notice in verses 12 and 13. Rather than resigning himself to a miserable life due to the limitations that accompany the old age and the weakness and the vulnerability, the psalmist allows his limitations to prompt him to run to the Lord. Okay, so he says, Lord, in my weakness, please take care of me. And I'm paraphrasing here. Lord, in my vulnerabilities, please take care of me. Look in verse 12 here. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. Really, what we see in this part of the psalm is an early version, I guess, of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, where Paul says, I asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn from me, and my response was this: my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, because when I am weak, then he is strong. He is magnified in my weakness. Okay? That's what this is about here in this section of the psalm. He says, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm vulnerable. But I'm gonna respond to those in such a way that doesn't just settle me down into a perpetual misery. But as I see my limitations and I see the frustrations that there are things that I can't control that maybe I once could and wish I could presently, I'm not going to lose heart, and I'm not going to stop striving to praise you. I'm going to ask you for help, and then I'm going to continue to hope, and I'm going to continue to praise when you show yourself to be faithful. Now, again, that's not easy. Okay? That makes for a good sermon and a very, very difficult life application. David says, I'm striving to praise you, Lord. That's what I want to do. And then, lastly, verses 15 to 24, he's striving, or he wants to strive, to be a living testimony. Strive to be a living testimony. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hither have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which showest me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. And so you see several different ways here, but it's clear in this section, if you spend a little time there, to see that the psalmist wants to be a living testimony of the Lord's goodness, of the Lord's greatness, of the Lord's power, of the Lord's praise. First, he starts with his mouth. My mouth will testify. And this is just in generalities. It's not what the text says in verse 15. But my mouth will testify the marvels of the Lord. His righteousness, he says here, that are too much to number. His mercies, his salvation, his faithfulness, his kindness. My mouth is going to testify those things. I want to be a living witness, a living testimony of the Lord's goodness. And part of that is going to be what I say. Then he says, verse 16, my life, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Again, he's still talking about mentioning here, but he says, I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord. Not only will my mouth testify of the Lord's goodness and mercies and kindness, but my life is going to be a testimony of that. I'm going to go in the Lord's strength. I may be weaker than I used to be. My abilities may not be as sharp as they were. But I am going to serve the Lord as long as He gives me strength. I'm going to honor the Lord as long as He will allow me to. He continues on. He says, Lord, You've taught me. You've taught me from my youth. And then we mentioned this already in verse 18. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know, the truth is, some of the most powerfully used people in Scripture were used in their elderly years. You think about a man like Moses. You think about Joshua. You think about Caleb. We say, well, they lived in a different time. Well, I'm not talking about you live until you're 150. I'm just talking about the end of your life. The reality, one of the other realities is this, honestly. I think this, you could make a case for this. One of the reasons that churches can grow weak is when the older people decide that they've put in their time and they decide to take a hands-off approach and coast to the end. Don't do that. The church needs older, stable, war-worn saints help encourage us to be faithful to the end. Think about examples like, and I wasn't here to see him, but I've heard enough to know. Think about examples like Brother Wallace, who was faithful all the way to the end. Examples like Sister Billy, I was here to see that all the way to the end. Sister Wallace, who the Lord, I was in Russia, I wasn't here for this, but again, I heard it. Who seemed to have some sort of a supernatural surge of energy the last days of her life to be able to encourage and stir people up. Brother Claude, who just faithfully wore away into the end and yet left a powerful testimony. Psalm 71:18, to our older crowd, that's your marching orders. That's my marching orders. Young folks, that's your marching orders, but it's our marching orders for our latter season of life as well. Jay Adams wrote a book toward the elderly. I don't remember when he wrote this, but the title, I've had it for a while, and I've always kind of chuckled at the title, but the title of it is Wrinkled But Not Ruined. Wrinkled But Not Ruined. And the point of it is to encourage a Psalm 71:18 type attitude. The kingdom of God needs faithful saints in their latter years. And so he says, my life is going to be a testimony of God's mercies. verses 19 through 21 kind of reaffirms this reality that I'm going to continue, Lord, to hope in your character. Your righteousness is high. You've done great things. Who is like you? You, which showed me great and sore trouble, shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You'll see the psalmist is continuing to try to hope in the Lord, in the Lord's faithfulness, in the Lord's comfort, in the Lord's work. And then the last three verses here, as far as striving to be a living testimony, is that he's going to strive to continue to praise the Lord's name all the way to the end. Lord, I'm going to praise you with the psaltery. Even your truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, the Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. So again, it's a psalm for seniors. Gives you three things to strive for and to begin thinking about at a young age. Three things that on some level seem pretty simple, at least to understand. But three things that the older you get, the more difficult you realize they are to continue to carry out in a consistent way. I want to strive to place my hope in God. I want to strive to live a life of praise rather than a life of complaint. And I want to strive to be a living testimony up until the day that I die, rather than hang up my hat early and decide that I'm not worth anything. May God bless us. May God bless us to strive toward the mark of these three realities up into old age. May we be found faithful unto the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Psalm 71. And Father, we thank you for the older people that you have given us in this congregation. We thank you for the older people that have already passed on, that we can say were faithful to this reality. As we mentioned earlier, saints like Brother Wallace, and Sister Billy, and Sister Gertrude, and Brother Claude, and we could just continue to name those saints. And Father, I pray that you would bless each of us to be faithful all the way to the end. I pray that we would be mindful of those who are aging and those who are in their older years and the difficulties that that brings along. And I pray that we would be faithful to try to encourage and to try to minister where we can. And Father, I also pray that we would be faithful to desire to learn from, to hear from, to be encouraged by, and to be instructed by, Lord, those weather-beaten saints who have walked with you for years and years and years, who you mean to use as an encouragement to your people. I pray we would not faint. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.